Well, hello everybody, and welcome to another episode of Wisdom Chat. And today my guest is my very good friend Amma Malik, who is the head of business development at the Financial Wellness Group. Amma, it's lovely to have you here today. You work for this organisation. Tell us a little bit about the Financial Wellness Group and your role in the organisation.
Hi, Phil, and thanks for having me on today. So, yeah, as you say, I'm head of business development at the Financial Wellness Group. The Financial Wellness Group is a debt advice provider. We've been around probably for the last sort of 27, 28 years, delivering debt advice and debt solutions across the board, really. My role very much is focused on sort of engaging with external stakeholders and driving awareness of debt advice and solutions within those organisations. I've been with Financial Wellness Group probably for about 5 months now, but I've actually worked within debt advice for the last sort of 14 years, predominantly in relationship management, working with external stakeholders, but also spent some of my time looking at sort of service and proposition development as well. So looking at how we can improve services so they better meet the needs of clients and also the partners that we work with. So that's broadly what I do and what I have done.
Yeah, thank you for that. I mean, you and I have known each other for a good number of years, and in that relationship management side, we've worked very much together, haven't we, in different sort of capacities. And I think we can both safely say from even our backgrounds that there are some real key issues that people are facing, not just today with rising costs of living and everything, but we've noticed certain patterns of behaviour that have been there for quite some time. Like, for example, why does it take people so long to acknowledge and accept that they need help and ask for help? And that's been quite a sort of key thing that we were chatting about the other day. I mean, what are your thoughts on that, Amma?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's something that as a sector, as a debt advice sector, I mean, we grapple with constantly. It's a constant challenge, really, because we know that people reach out for help and support much later than they should. Our research, and actually research from across the industry, suggests that more than half of the people that access debt advice wait more than a year to do that. And actually, what we tend to find is that the longer you wait, the longer you leave it, the less options you have available to you, and the less solutions that there might be available that might help you manage your situation. So it's a real issue, and it's a real challenge. I guess one of the things that I've seen over my time in working in the debt advice sector is that the reason that people fall into difficulty, and generally what we tend to find is that, or what we have found up until this point, and that may shift and change as we move through this cost of living crisis, but what we found up until now is that people tend to fall into difficulty because they are suffering from a life event. So it could be something like a change in the work situation, so a reduction in their hours at work. It could be a new baby in the household that means that there's additional cost. It could be illness that again reduces income, or it could be a relationship breakdown. Any one of these sort of life events, and I think lots of us are in a position to able. Lots of us are in a position to be able to cope with that life event or manage our way through it. But actually, there are some people that just aren't in a position to do that. And what we tend to find is that starts the spiral of problem debt. And people tend to wait too long to access support, rather than accessing support at that particular point when they start to experience that life event. But they sort of feel that they can sort of cope and manage, really.
Yeah. I do get that. I do understand it. And I mean, when you talk about life events, there are many life events, and maybe some people listening today are thinking of their own life events that you've not listed. I mean, for example, redundancies, losing your job. I went through three redundancies in a 2-year period. And it's interesting that when you come out of it and you're back into work, people around you say, oh, everything's okay now. And yet what we don't realize, it takes time for people to recover from those things. And then when we think about, for me, for example, why I took so long to ask for help, and interestingly, it was your previous organization that actually gave me the really needed help at the time that I needed it, which was fantastic. And it really taught me an awful lot. However, the waiting side, I honestly, like you were rightly saying, thought that I had a plan in order to get us out of the situation and put us back in a resilient place as a family, as a couple. And it was only the actions of another organisation, in this case, a high street bank, that actually put us into an even worse situation. They closed our account down. And sometimes, you know, people will not ask for help because they're afraid of what will people think? What will people do? How will I be treated? And I know things have come a long way. And I will say this to our listeners. Things have come an awfully long way in terms of how people are being treated when they've asked for help. But back then, it was a difficult time. And, you've got lots of experience of that in terms of the organisation you used to work for. And
yeah, absolutely. I think there's lots of reasons why people don't engage, you know. So, you know, in the first instance, I think, there is that taboo, isn't there, that surrounds money, especially debt. There's that stigma that's associated with being in debt. And I guess how other people might perceive it. And that just prevents so many people from accessing help sooner rather than later. And actually what they're trying to do is manage that situation in isolation. And actually that only really serves to worsen the situation. And it also takes a toll on mental health as well. You know, let's not forget about the link between money and mental health. It's very well documented. And people try and put coping mechanisms or strategies into place to try and manage out of their situation. So, you know, that could be things like, you know, borrowing from family and friends. It could be using other forms of credit. It could be trying to cut back on expenditure, or, you know, using savings. And all of these are, you know, short-term measures and finite resources as well. And none of them are actually very sustainable. And actually, some of them can lead to exacerbating your situation as well, which ultimately means it takes people much longer to actually access the help that they need. As well, so yeah, it's definitely challenging. I think from that perspective.
I know for myself, it was very challenging, and the people that I've come across oftentimes who, like for example, one of the things that I often hear people say is I'm bad with money, so they've cast a judgment on themselves that society may not have actually said. But having said that, you know, that going back to what you said about stigma, I think as a society, when the rhetoric is about if you're a saver, you're good with money. If you're a spender, you're not good with money. I think it's cruel because it doesn't take into consideration why people do either. I know people who are really good savers, but their anxiety levels are very high because they're afraid of what might happen. And I know people who are on low incomes who are very happy and are happy when they spend it, because their reason for spending is actually a good reason. And so I suppose it's really getting to the bottom of what is the fear that people have at asking for help. So if it's to do with what will people think, well, I know, and you know, Amma, that in the industry, the services offered in your organisation keep it highly confidential.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, it's all completely confidential. That conversation is, you know, between the advisor and you know the client. It's, and I think, you know, that opening conversation is a really important one, because you're looking at, you know, sometimes that person, it's the first time they've reached out, the first time they've spoken to anyone, acknowledge their situation. And it's really about trying to build rapport and building trust and helping them to open up about their situation. Actually, in many instances, it's about sitting back and just listening to you know, what they want to say, what they need to get off their chest, and then sort of working through what the actual issue is, and then sort of tackling it from there.
Yeah, I know for any change to happen in any single person's life, there has to be first and foremost an acknowledgement that the situation is there. So, for example, with me, indebtedness, I have to acknowledge that I'm in debt. I'm not in debt, but when I was, I have to acknowledge I'm in debt, and therefore I need to do something about it. But if at that point I'm uncertain what to do, then we know that there are lots of places people can get help from, including the Financial Wellness Group.
Absolutely. And I think those are the three key sort of, for me, the three key areas are very much sort of, you know, education around sort of, you know, money and actually your relationship with money in the first instance. Then very much it's around sort of awareness of what support is available as well. And I think also there's a piece around collaboration, you know, working in partnership with different types of organisations to make sure people get the support as early as they can do. But just sort of touching on, you know, that piece around sort of relationship with money, I think we have a perception of money and credit, and that doesn't always really marry up with the reality of it as well. So, for example, you know, people may sort of dip in and out of an overdraft. They don't necessarily see that as being debt. They just view it as, in inverted commas, you know, their own money. You know, when we think about sort of how we manage a credit card, you know, many people just make the minimum payment on that and think that that's the right way of managing that credit commitment. But, they're just prolonging how long it takes for them to sort of pay that off. And you know, more recently now, things like buy now and pay later products and people using those, but maybe not fully understanding the implications of that. And I think there's a lot that we need to be able to do to build awareness and sort of education around, around money and different sort of products. And then there's that piece around awareness of, you know, services that are available and how people can engage with them and what to expect once they do engage with them as well.
Yeah, I've got a question for you, Amma. I mean, and this is us, you haven't as far back to think as me, because I'm older than you, but...
Not that much.
If you can cast your mind back to school days, okay, can you remember at any point in time receiving any kind of financial or money education?
No, absolutely not. You know, I didn't get anything like that at school at all. I remember, you know, coming away to university and suddenly, you know, being in charge of my own money in more ways than one and being responsible for my own outgoings. And I had no training, I had no support. And actually, I think that's where it really needs to start, doesn't it? You know, education when you're young. And actually, when you start taking out those first sort of financial commitments, really, and there isn't anything, there hasn't been anything, or there wasn't anything at that point to support you. I think there's, you know, there's more work being done around education now, but I think we've still got a long way to go.
Yeah, I agree. I think if there was an individual who realised, I don't know enough about managing my money, what kind of advice would you give them in order to for them to equip themselves to be able to manage their money well? What would you say to them, Amma?
I think in the first instance, you know, somebody really needs to understand their budget. I think in the first instance, you know, you need to really get to grip with, you know, what you actually have coming in. You know, what is your income? You know, what's that made up of in the first instance? And make sure that you've got a full understanding of everything. And then you need to get a real handle on your expenditure, I think, as well. So, you know, what is it that you're spending? What are your different types of expenditure? So, you know, what's priority, what's non-priority, what's a debt, you know, who do you owe money to? Really building an understanding of that in the first instance, yeah. I think, and then building from there.
Yeah, when you're categorising payments like a priority and non-priority, just to clarify for our listeners, I mean, when we talk about priorities, those payments that have repercussions if those payments aren't made, like your rent or your mortgage, then the potential long term is that you could be, you know, evicted or have your house repossessed. TV license. You know, I know there's a debate at the moment. They're trying to get the criminal side taken away, but certainly in terms of fines, council tax, and then you've got your utility bills, so gas and electric being cut off. So that's what we mean by the priority payments, don't we? Whereas the non-priorities, where the implications may not be as great, there's still implications, but they're certainly not going to put you out on the street necessarily.
Absolutely, like your unsecured credit commitments that you might have, like your credit card or your personal loan or anything like that. But But the starting point for me would be sort of understanding your budget in the first instance, and then building from there, really, I guess. So
In terms of our advice to people who find themselves in challenging circumstances and feel they could do with some support, what would your advice be to them? What would you like to say to them now at this point?
I think it's really important to try and remember that you're not alone in a situation like this. There are, millions of people out there who are struggling, and recognize that there is light at the end of the tunnel as well. So, there is a way out as well. It can feel sometimes like there isn't. But it's really important to recognise that and to access support and access advice. So, whether that's reaching out to us, whether it's reaching out to one of the other advice agencies, but getting access to advice as soon as possible. And understanding that, that organisation, that advisor that you're going to be dealing with or engaging with, that they're not going to be judging you in any way. They've spoken to so many people who have all sorts of different types of situations that they're dealing with, but they're there to help you and try and unpack your situation and give you a solution that will help you move forward ultimately. So
thank you, Amir. That's been absolutely fantastic. I'm just thinking, being somebody who's been there and know what it feels like and has actually reached out and asked for help and received some excellent help in years gone by, I can safely say to our listeners, don't wait. Don't be fearful. Don't be fearful about stigma. I reached out at a point where I just started a new job, actually in the finance industry. So my first thought was, what will my employer think? Will I lose my job? So I was quite fearful, but I'm so glad I did reach out and ask for help, because the way I was treated, I was treated with the utmost respect, and as you rightly say, treated confidentially. Nobody judged me in any way, which I really appreciated. So I would echo the sentiments of what you've just said.
Yeah, and I just sort of add, as we sort of move through what we're calling this cost of living crisis, it's going to be even more important that people sort of reach out and access support as their situations shift and change as a result of, what we're experiencing now as well. So, if there's anybody out there who thinks they're going to be starting to struggle at some point, they should really sort of reach out sooner rather than later.
Wonderful. Thank you, Amir. Time has passed us by and it's been wonderful talking to you. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing the things that you have. That's wonderful. Those listening to this podcast right now, if you need any help or you want to talk to somebody, by all means, go through the link with this podcast, access our website at Aurum Gold. I will certainly ensure that you get to speak to the people you need to speak to and get the help and advice that you need. So, Amir, thank you so much. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Phil. Appreciate it.